Well, good morning. Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We are here to celebrate the God who is with us now and always. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, especially if you're here for the very first time. We're pleased that you're here this morning. And those of us who are here all the time want to extend a hand of welcome to you. If we don't do that quickly enough, you introduce yourself to us because we would love for you to find a place in our family here. Welcome all. If you look in your bulletin, you'll find an insert that has lots of information about the ways that you can be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. I'm going to lift up a few of those. First of all, we are continuing to have our winter stock sale to support the youth mission trip for this summer. If you have not had a chance to do that, there's a table in Reed Hall. Simply go out there and Jackson Bryant, Mary Kate and Brakefield, and Braxton Brakefield will be out there to let you know about the mission trip and to sell you some stock. Also, don't forget today, our Christmas lunch follows this service around noon in McWhorter Hall. I hope you've made a reservation, and it's going to be a grand celebration. Thank you for joining us for that. Also, and this may not be as important for you all as it was for the early service, but next Sunday, the 23rd, we are only going to have one worship service. It will be this service at 11. Sunday schools will meet at their regular time, but next Sunday, December 23rd, there will be one service at 11. If you didn't get to experience Christmas over the past couple of weeks, you can still do that. There are alternative gifts available in the lobby of the first floor. You can come right in there and learn about the things that you can give to your family members or in honor of your family members that, believe me, they will like a whole lot more than those socks or that tie. So check it out if you haven't already. During Advent, we are supporting and featuring Bethlehem Centers of Nashville. Bethlehem Centers is a Methodist organization. It's just down the street on Charlotte Avenue. And we have supported this for many years. It's over 100 years old. And we hope you will learn more about it. There's a table in Reed Hall where you can do that. And we hope that you'll make your Christmas offering in support of that. You'll hear more about that later, though. And last but not least, we want to thank Marcus Womack for 3.5 years on our staff as an intern, working with youth. He and Alyssa, and Alyssa's sitting right over there. Wave. Okay. He has provided wonderful leadership here. They are moving back home to Texas, where he'll take an appointment in a United Methodist Church. We wish you Godspeed, vaya con Dios, go with God, and we are so appreciative of all that you've contributed to our life here. And I hope you will tell them also how much you appreciate that. Yeah. Blessings, friend. No matter where we go, no matter what time it is, no matter the circumstances of our life, God is with us. That, my friends, is the best news of all.
We greet one another because we wait together.
As Mary and Joseph waited together.
We wait with our own struggles and doubts and wonder.
Waiting to remember, waiting to celebrate.
To remember, to celebrate Emmanuel.
God with us.
We light this third candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of hope for the coming of Christ into our world. Hear these words from the prophet Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home. At the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord."
As we stand before God, may we remember that God, through Jesus Christ, gives us forgiveness, grace, and hope that we might know God's healing love for us. Please join with me in our prayer of confession. O God, you are in our midst. It is difficult for us to put our whole trust in you, since we cannot see your face or hear your voice or feel your embrace. We confess we would rather trust ourselves. Forgive us when we place our trust in those things that would make us popular or prosperous. We confess that instead of changing our ways, we seek answers for faithful lives from the caretakers of our culture instead of the messenger you are sending to us. Be with us, O Lord, as you send this child to us to make your presence more tangible, visible, and touchable. Hear the good news. God has already come among us. God is already Emmanuel, come to set us free from our doubts, struggles, and fears. Praise be to God. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Douglas Wayne Atkinson and Chastity Michelle Kolb Atkinson bring their daughter, Winsley Gray Atkinson, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. So, Chastity and Doug, I ask you, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. And so pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water from both the Jordan and Cumberland rivers, and this child before us now who receives it today, to wash away her sin, to clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child?
Winsley Gray.
Winsley Gray. It's you. It's you. Winsley Gray, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you'll put your hands on her, and Cadence, if you'll put your hands on her too. Winsley Gray, being born by water and the Spirit, may you always be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen. I know we would all be fussing if we knew what was happening in our baptisms, wouldn't we? Come here. Cadence, you going to come with me? There you go. That's better. Yeah, they aren't so scary. They aren't so scary. Here we go. Now, come out here and see all your new brothers and sisters. Yes, she even has an Advent pacifier this morning, this pretty dress.
Will the congregation please stand and face Winsley Gray? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Winsley Gray to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Winsley Gray, and we welcome you in Christian love as members.
Please join me as we pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come down and join us, please feel free to come on down. The past few weeks, we've been talking. I know, that baby is so beautiful, isn't she? It's hard not to look at her. I'll tell you what, why don't you look at her and listen to me? How about that? We've talked a lot about Mary these past few weeks, and that Mary was going to have a baby, but we haven't talked too much about Joseph. Well, today we're going to talk about Joseph, who served as a father to Jesus. Now, Joseph, just like Mary, was surprised to find out that she was going to have a baby. They had no idea how that was going to happen. But when it did, he wasn't sure what to do. But he had a dream. And in the dream, a messenger from God came and said, "Don't be afraid to marry Mary. Don't be afraid to go ahead and live your lives, because the baby that's going to be born is from God and is a gift to the whole world. You will name him Jesus." Now, the name Jesus is actually Yeshua, or really Yehoshua, which is Joshua, okay? But in Greek, it turned out to be Jesus. But it also gives him another name. It says, "He shall be called Emmanuel," which means God with us. You know what? Every time you see a baby, and I know a couple of you have a new baby brother at your house, don't you? Every time you see a baby, you can remember that God is with us. Huh? Because when I see all of you, I remember, and you're not babies, I know that, but I remember that God is with us. Let's pray. We thank you, God, for all the reminders you give us that you are with us. We thank you for the love you surround us with. We thank you for the gift of children, all ages. We thank you for the chance to come together and to know that you are always there. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. I'll be honest, if I had a choice between looking at me and looking at Winsley Gray, I would look at her too. I'll guarantee you that. The past few weeks, we've been looking at the Gospel of Luke. And the Gospel of Luke really tells the story of Jesus' birth, looking over the shoulder of Mary. But today, we shift to the Gospel according to St. Matthew. And Matthew tells the birth story looking over the shoulder of Joseph. Now, I had a really sweet sermon prepared for you about God's presence and God with us, and it had stories about our daughter Sarah's graduation from college. And that'll have to wait for another time, because between the time I had that prepared and now, Friday happened. And on Friday morning, I was here watching our preschool students do their Christmas program, and it was magnificent. It was just glorious. All those sweet voices and sweet faces, parents, grandparents, friends crowded into McWhorter Hall. It's just exactly what that kind of event should be. And then for the rest of the day, I heard the news about what was happening and had happened in Connecticut. And my heart broke. Let me tell you something about me, if you don't already know it. I believe in the full inclusion of children in the church and in society, so much that if there is a choice between people who can pay millions of dollars to lobbyists to protect their causes and children who have no resources to protect theirs, I'll stand with the children. And if there is a choice between those who care for our money and those who care for our children, I will stand with those who care for our children. If you know me, you probably already know that. If you don't, you probably need to before this sermon. Matthew is a hopeful gospel, even in times of great difficulty and tragedy, even when Friday happens. Matthew has a word. Several weeks ago, remember, I preached on the end of Matthew. And the very last thing in Matthew is the great assurance that Jesus gives. "I will be with you even to the end of the age." Today, we hear at the beginning of Matthew that Jesus has another name. And that name comes from the ancient Hebrew tradition. It is Emmanuel, and it means God with us. Matthew frames his entire gospel by saying, God is with us, Jesus will be with us even to the end of the age. Now, that doesn't guarantee that bad things won't happen, because my guess is you've heard the story in between and you know what happened to Jesus. What it guarantees is that no matter how tragic the event, God does not desert us, ever, ever, ever. God takes the initiative and God is there. Past few days, there have been pundits who are blaming this violence in the school on the fact that God wasn't invited into the school, that there wasn't prayer in the school. Well, I don't know where they get their image of God, but it doesn't seem to be from the Gospels. And it certainly got not from the Gospel of Matthew, because in Matthew and in the other Gospels, God is not some shy, retiring presence who is waiting for us to invite that presence in. God is already there. God takes the initiative. Now, we may be aware of it, and we may not be aware of it, but God always acts first and is always there. And you know, I've wondered over the years that if Christian parents prayed daily with their children, and maybe some of you do, I know that, but if we all prayed daily with our children, we wouldn't feel such a great need to outsource that to other institutions and groups. God is with us. God was with us before we needed or thought we needed God. When times are going great and we feel like we can do it ourselves, God is with us. And when things happen that shatter our world and our reality, God is still there. That is the hope that Matthew offers. And Matthew counterposes the hope of that child called Emmanuel, the Prince of Peace, over against someone else, the Prince of Fear, Herod. If you read this story as it continues, you know that the Magi came to Herod, told him there was another king born in the land. Now, kings don't like other kings being born in their land. And so when the Magi didn't come back and report to Herod, Herod, having all the most advanced weaponry of his time in his world, decided that the solution to this was to take out all the children under the age of 2. Seems a little extreme to me. Does that to you? It's called the Feast Day of Holy Innocence in our church calendar. Comes up on December 28th. That became a real reality for me because our daughter Sarah was born on December 28th, and those innocents took on a face, and not just her face, but Lizzie's face and all the rest of these children. You see, I think I know why Herod did that. This incident is going to open a conversation on weapons, guns specifically, and I know people stand at different places on that, and I understand that. I grew up among people who hunted, and we didn't hunt for sport. We hunted for food. We hunted around our houses, not at distance places. We hunted in the woods near our homes. And we brought home squirrels and rabbits and an occasional groundhog. And you'll be very pleased to know that groundhog is not on the menu for the lunch today. And we cleaned them and we ate them. So I do understand. There are different views on this. But it seems to me that when a person chooses to surround himself, or when a culture chooses to surround themselves with weapons that are designed not for hunting, but purely and simply for warfare, nothing else, that they do that because they're scared. Herod was afraid. Now, the odd thing is he was afraid of a child, an infant. And having all that weaponry made him feel safe, made him feel powerful. Even though, quite honestly, whether that does make you safe or powerful is under question as well. But Herod was afraid. So we have a stark choice here in Matthew. We have God with us, the Prince of Peace, and we have Herod, the Prince of Fear. And do you see what fear drives you to? The kind of actions. Jesus says to his disciples over and over again, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Not because there wasn't stuff to be afraid of. There was. But because Jesus saw the kind of people fear turned us into. And he didn't want his followers to be those kinds of people. The scripture says true love drives out fear. And so I guess the choice we have as Christians, not as liberals or conservatives, not as Republicans or Democrats or whatever label you want to put on yourself, but as followers of Jesus Christ, the question is, are we going to commit our lives to the Prince of Peace, or are we going to commit our lives to the Prince of Fear? We pay a lot of lip service to the Prince of Peace around this time of year, don't we? And then something happens that scares us to death, and the Prince of Fear takes over. Well, let me tell you, the choice that Matthew presents is very clear. And his solution is the Prince of Peace. He claims this radical and to some people nonsensical idea that the one who gives life is more powerful than the one who takes life. Did you hear that? The one who gives life through love is more powerful than the one who takes life through whatever means. And so that's our choice, it seems to me. I imagine you were as brokenhearted as I was when you heard that news on Friday, and we want to respond. We need to respond. And I know that many of you are praying for those families, those children, those teachers, their families. I hope you're praying for that troubled young man, too. Because from what I've read recently, he, too, was afraid, and he too felt like weapons would make him safe and powerful. But there are other ways to respond, and I don't usually suggest a specific way, but I am going to today. Because you see, our Advent emphasis is on Bethlehem Center. And the children that Bethlehem Center serves are familiar with violence. They hear gunshots all the time in their neighborhoods. They know people who have been killed violently, either friends or relatives, and they don't live in Connecticut and they don't live in Africa. They live just down Charlotte Avenue. They are literally our neighbors. For over 100 years, Bethlehem Centers has been serving this population. Begun by an African-American woman and a white woman at a time when that was practically unheard of. Both Methodists, it's been United Methodist all along. It is one of our ministries, and many of us don't even know it exists. It serves children, it serves youth, it serves older adults. I know some of you work with this. Some of you volunteer there. It's one of the most successful and one of the least funded of the groups around. In their youth programming, 97% of the youth they work with go on to the next grade. They pass. That's a remarkable record. Of the preschool children in the program they have to prepare them for reading, 100% hit their marks. Now, where do you find that kind of effectiveness? And yet they struggle constantly for enough money to keep their doors open. This is our Advent offering. There are folks out here who can tell you more than I can about it, certainly. But let me ask you to consider that one of the responses we can make to the terrible incident that happened in Connecticut and the terrible deaths that are happening in Syria and other places around the world is to respond here at home. You can write a check. You just make it out to West End United Methodist, mark Bethlehem Center, or put it in the Advent envelope, mark Bethlehem Center. And that's important. Don't get me wrong. It's very important because they need funding. But even more importantly is to get involved. Because your check or my check will help the older adults who need those Meals on Wheels, those preschool children, those youth who otherwise might be inflicting violence rather than passing to the next grade. But if we volunteer and get involved, if we actually get to know some of those folks, it'll not only change their lives, it'll change ours as well. So I think there is a choice, and I think there is a response. It's not the only response, but it's the one that we've chosen to emphasize this Advent. So I invite you as followers of the Prince of Peace to acknowledge that God is indeed with us by responding to those most in need who are literally our neighbors. Sometimes it's hard for us to remember that God is present at all times, that God takes the initiative. And one way we remind ourselves of that is through affirmations of faith. So I would invite you to stand with me as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal. You'll find there a statement of faith that comes to us from the United Church of Canada. Would you join me as we affirm our faith? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As always, it's a joyful thing to come together to worship as family here at West End United Methodist Church. We're especially glad to have guests worshiping with us this morning, and we invite you to stop by Reed Hall, just outside these transept doors, for coffee and fellowship immediately after this service. If you're a first-time visitor, we hope you'll find our Bread for the Journey table, where we have a home-baked goodie for you and always information about the many ministries here at West End and our Sunday morning classes. You can also help us as well as help yourselves by passing the attendance pads down your pew now if you haven't done so already in the service. We'd like to recognize your presence here, and we hope that you'll have a chance to see who is worshiping with you, especially as those pads are passed back to the center aisle afterwards. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. On one side, you can write down any questions or comments you might have for staff or laity, and we will get back to you as necessary. On the other side of that card, you'll find prayer concerns, a place to share your prayer concerns, as praying for one another is integral to the body of Christ and to the life of the community here at West End. We ask that you list any requests for staff or laity to lift up. Please note whether they are confidential, to be held only with the pastoral staff, or they're to be shared with the whole congregation. We would appreciate that very, very much. Again, we're thankful for Marcus and Alyssa Womack's ministries with us, and we keep them in our prayers as they return to North Texas to Grace United Methodist Church in Dallas. We also keep in our prayers this week Mary Crosby Turner, who is mourning the death of her grandmother, Elizabeth Mills, who passed away December 2nd. Services were held in Greenville, Mississippi on December 5th. Also, we remember Samantha Morgan Curtis and her family, who are mourning the death of her grandmother, Molly Kate Morgan, who passed away December 8th in Sevierville, Tennessee. And indeed, we remember the families of the victims of the Sandy Hook school shooting in Connecticut. And we remember all people everywhere mourning the lives of loved ones during this season. Let us pray. Loving God, darkness conceals so much pain. In the soul's shadow land, the light of hope and love is spent. The agony of isolation cuts deeply. The pain of guilt cripples, and the crude knife of injustice twists. We pray for the lonely who know no friendship and share no joy, who feel forsaken and disregarded. We pray for those who need to know forgiveness, yet fear to face their sin. We pray for those oppressed and exploited whose worth is thought so low. O Lord, there is so much we do not understand. We do not comprehend. We do not know why. All we know is the pain overwhelms us, the senselessness stuns us, and our hearts are broken. We pray for the family and friends of those who have passed away, for all of those, for Sandy Hook Elementary School, for Newtown, for the Lanza family, for our nation, and yes, Lord, even for ourselves. Help us to discern that something is terribly, terribly wrong. Enable us to proclaim hope when it's hard to utter the words. Empower us to act with courage to address difficult issues. And propel us to change as individuals, as families, as a nation, and as a church. In these Advent weeks, we pray that the healing, judging, and hope-bearing light of our coming Christ will dispel the darkness of our distress and bring a dawn of renewal. For we know that you are our life, our hope, and our eternal destiny. We pray all of this with the one who taught us to pray together in one voice, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. All that we have and all that we are comes from God, a generous gift from God. May God open all of our hearts to be as generous in the sharing of our bounty with others for God's purposes rather than our own in our tithes and our offerings.
I'd like to invite the congregation to be seated as our candidate for membership makes his way to the front. And as he's heading this way, I want to encourage whoever is interested and whoever is hungry to join us in McWhorter Hall for our Christmas lunch. It is what we did encourage people to make reservations, but I know for a fact Martha made extra food. So if you didn't make reservations for whatever reason, you'd like to be there, you know, please do. I'd like to introduce everyone to Luke Mitchell. Luke hails from the great state of Montana, and he is a PhD candidate in chemical engineering over at Vanderbilt. So I thought we needed some more PhDs over here at West End. And he's a great addition. Luke, I have two questions for you. Luke's coming to us from another Christian denomination, so I ask you first, as a member of Christ's Universal Church already, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you will, say I will. As a member of the body of Christ in this congregation, will you faithfully serve Christ through your participation in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ? Great. Will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest member? Brothers and sisters, do all in your power to uphold Luke, to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and welcome you in Christian love as members of West End United Methodist Church. As members gathered in the body of Christ, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the life and ministries of Christ's Holy Church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified.
Luke, may the God of all grace strengthen you by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may live as true disciples all of our days. And we invite everyone to join us at the lunch to welcome Luke and meet Luke. And God bless.
Now I send you forth to follow the Prince of Peace, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do, with the confidence that the God who created you and all that is will be with you always. Jesus Christ, God's love in the flesh, will be with you even to the end of the age, and that the Holy Spirit will allow us to feel God's presence and to be God's presence for others. This day and forevermore, go in peace.